or a king or a queen keeps his or her stately state and royal chariots. You would be taken with a guide, and he'd point to one chariot, perhaps, and he would say, this chariot is used only for a special occasion. And then he'd point to another chariot and say, this is the coronation chariot. The king rode in this on the day he took his throne. Perhaps your guide would point to another chariot and say, this is the one that on which the king rode on the opening day of Parliament. Or maybe he would say, as he pointed to another chariot, this is one reserved for special guest rulers. Quite often, all the chariots of the kingdom would and will be still taken from that building and rolled down the street. When the driver takes in his hands the reins of these prancing horses, when royal chariots roll with bands playing loudly, marching under banners with mounted troops, and through majestic arches with hundreds of thousands of spectators, a parade was in progress. Now the king would use this parade and the using of all the chariots at his disposal if he sensed that his people were a little bit discouraged. If they had their eyes on their own problems, and if the king wanted to get the minds of the people off of their own problems, he'd call a parade. Anybody's got any sense likes a parade. And so the king, if the people had low spirits, in order to raise their spirits, he would just bring all the chariots of the kingdom with the prancing horses, and down in front of the hundreds of thousands of people would go this parade of royal chariots. The king would often sense that his people were discouraged, defeated, or oppressed. And he would get the chariots out, show his power, get their eyes off their problems, and raise their spirits. Did you ever wonder what the Lord meant when he said, he maketh the clouds his chariot? Did you ever wonder why the king of this universe lets the gilded vapors of heaven roll up to his feet? Then he takes the reins of galloping winds in his hands and rides under the arches of a cloudy sapphire and over his atmospheric highway. Did you ever wonder why God does that? He wants us to look up. He's saying, my people are discouraged. My people are defeated. And God is trying to get our attention heavenward as he causes us to look up as the cloud formations, his chariot, if you please, are driven by the King of Kings himself. Did you ever wonder why God beckoned lakes and rivers and oceans to come up higher? That's all the clouds are. God simply said, I want an ocean in the sky. I want a cloud or a lake in the sky. I want a river in the sky. Do you ever wonder why God beckoned lakes and oceans and rivers to come up high and to form golden domes for cities and diamond rings for every blade of earthly grass? Did you ever wonder why that God did so in the heavens? He's trying to get us to look up. God is saying, look up. I'll take your minds off your sorrow. Look up. I'll lift your burden. Look up. I'll give you victory. And God, with his great parade of chariots in the sky, the clouds, if you please, God is diverting our attention from earthly cares, earthly problems, earthly burdens, and earthly heartaches. And God is saying, look up. Do you ever wonder why God points to us and says, looky here? And then he paints on a heavenly canvas in the sky a painting that Michelangelo envies, and one that makes Raphael and Rembrandt and Da Vinci look like grade school art students. And then, after God has painted this masterpiece in the sky, He then leaves it there for an hour for all of us to view, then rips it off the canvas, throws it away. It'll never be painted again. And tomorrow he paints another, even more magnificent with splendor than that one. And then he leaves that for a while, and then draws a curtain of mist over it, and never to exhibit it again. And God paints another in the sky, and another, and rips that down, and another. Do you ever wonder why the sunset is so lovely? God's trying to get you to look up. Did you ever wonder why there's such a beauty of the sunset? God's trying to get you to look up. He's trying to get your attention. Did you ever wonder why the stars at night formed the great chandelier of heavenly beauty? God's trying to get you to look up. Did you ever wonder why the moon one night is over here, why one night it's over here, one night it's white, other night it's yellow? Did you ever wonder? God is saying, look, we're having a parade in the glory world. Look up. I want you to get your mind off your burdens, off your problems, and off your heartaches. Look up. And my message this morning on the first Sunday of 1984, ladies and gentlemen, let's look up this year. Let's look up. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Did you ever wonder why beasts are the only constructed so they can look down? The cow can only look down, and the dog and the horse and the beast can only look down. Did you ever wonder why God made even the winged creatures to fly in the sky? But even they are looking down. The eagle is looking for mice in the field. And the raven is looking for a carcass on the road somewhere. Looking down. Always looking down. And the seagull looks for a little surface fish on the top of the ocean. But man alone was made upright. And man alone was made erect. And what God was saying is, I don't want you looking down. I want you to look up. And this morning, may I say, if you look down in this old sin-cursed world, you'll see Lebanon. But if you look up, you'll see Jesus. If you look down, you'll see defeat. But if you look up, you'll see victory. If you look down, you'll see weakness. But if you look up, you'll see strength. If you look down, you'll see what man can do. You look up, you'll see what God can do. You look down, you'll see El Salvador. You look up, and you'll see the holy city, a building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You look down, you'll see Nicaragua. You look down, you'll see the Falkland Islands. You look down, and you'll see Cuba and Grenada and Afghanistan and recession. You look down, you'll see unemployment. You look down, you'll see disease. You look down, you'll see war. You look down, you'll see strife. You look down, you'll see divorce. You look down, you'll see orphans. You look down, you'll see narcotics. You look down, you'll see the decay and corruption of our society. You look down, and you'll see broken hearts. You look down, and you'll see broken dreams. You look down, and you'll see broken aspirations. You look down, and you'll see crumbled air castles. But let me tell you something. You keep looking up. The Bible says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And may I say this year to you this morning, as we start the new year, just keep your eyes upon Jesus. I remember when I was a paratrooper in World War II, they told us, they said, now when you jump, never look down. Never look down. They said if you look down, several things can happen. Always look, they said, toward the sky, toward the horizon. Always look up that way. Never look down. They said if you look down, first place, you won't jump. It's discouraging when you look down. But it's never discouraging when you look up. And they said, it's discouraging. You won't jump. In the second place, they said, you may go where you look. You look down, and you may all of a sudden hit the airplane with your head. They said, always look up. One of my buddies was killed in the jump. And the general came and saw his body. And the general said, he made one mistake. He looked down when he jumped. He didn't look up. And this morning, the king says, I've got clouds. I'm riding them as a chariot.
Look up and see. I've got a canvas of beauty and splendor, a heavenly Luxembourg, if you please, in the sky. I've got a heavenly Vatican in the sky. I've got a heavenly basilica in the sky. I've got a heavenly a painting in the sky. God says, look up. Look up, unemployed person, your God's in charge of you. Look up, lonely heart, your God's in charge of you. Look up, one whose cheeks have been stained with the tears of bereavement because of the leaving of a loved one. Look up, God's on his throne. Let me tell you something this morning. We need to stop and look up to heaven and say, thank God, there's a God in heaven, and that God loves me, and that God cares for me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Man alone is made to look up. And yet we miss those thrones of pomp and heavenly Niagaras and look at this penury earth. No wonder we're so pessimistic. We're looking down too much. The other night, my sister told me something beautiful. You know, my mother's 96. Margaret, I've never heard mother say a word of complaint. Never have. I've never heard her when her teeth were rotten and like coal. I've never heard mother complain about it. I've never heard her when she had nothing to wear but a few hand-me-down clothes that didn't fit. I've never heard her complain. It never was too hot at our house. It never was too cold at our house. The cupboard was never too bare. A house was never too poorly furnished, nor we were never too poorly clad. I never heard my mother complain. But at 96... when you're wilting away to almost nothing, about to have surgery, you don't know if you're going to make it or not. The other night, my sister thought mother was dying. And she rushed to the nursing station, called the nurse in to check. And when she listened, mother was just singing. All of us are that way. When we howl to sing, you think we're dying. And you wish you were. But in the wee hours of the morning, that little emaciated, swiveled up little peach without her teeth, and my sister thought she was dying. She listened carefully. And my mother was singing, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care. And bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul is often found relief, and oft escape the tempter's snare for thy return, sweet hour of prayer. I mean, even when they thought she was dying, she was looking up. Look up! The King is riding his chariot! He wants you to see him! Look up! The great pomp of heavenly parade is marching before you! Look up! God says, look at the stars, and you look at me. Look at the moon, you look at me. Look at the sun, you look at me. Look at the clouds, you look at me. God said, I'm trying to show you my power when I send a storm. I'm trying to show you my art when I send a sunset. I'm trying to show you my strength when I send the mighty winds. Look up! I'm riding my chariot. I want you to look up at me. Last night, I was talking to Mother, and everything was quiet for a while. In fact, some of her talking in the room. And all of a sudden, Mother started mumbling. It's about all she can do now. She started mumbling. And I listened to her. Other folks were talking. My sister was talking, which, of course, you knew. And but I was listening to Mother, and I put my ear down close, and Mother was talking to anybody that listened, and she was saying, I have four children. I have four children. Anybody that knows anything knows Mother has two children, one good one and my sister. But Mother said, I have four children. And then she said, I have two in heaven and two are here. What difference does it make whether she lives or stays? She lives or goes. She's got two kids either way. One day I left her several months ago, and she said, son, she said, I don't know if I'll ever see you again on earth. But she said, don't you worry about mother. I'm okay. It's all cared for. And she said, I have been spending a little more time with you and Earlene lately than I have Hazel and Loreen. That's our sisters in heaven. And she said, I may have to go visit with them. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore, and I don't feel much at home in this world anymore. Oh, we creatures of dust don't have to look at dust, and we creatures of flesh don't have to look at flesh. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. Look up. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. I could look down this morning and see the war clouds rolling this way. Or I can look up and I can see my Savior riding the clouds as His chariots. I can look down this morning and I can see the heartache and the disease. I said last night before I went to bed, I'm so tired of sin. I'm so tired of sickness. I'm tired of little boy coming to my office, little boy with Hodgkin's disease. And he comes to my office and he says, preacher, I'm going to have a checkup tomorrow this week. Would you pray for me, please? And I put my arms around him and my hand on his head and pray for a little boy, just 12, 13 years of age, that he'll be able to live and have a normal lifespan. I'm tired of looking at four little girls like we did last Friday night. When that marvelous testimony presented by a lady who may be dying came forth in this place, I'm tired of looking at little girls who wonder if mommy's going to be alive this time next Christmas. I'm tired of disease. I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of the Playboy magazine. I'm tired of the filth and the Playboy philosophy. I'm tired of the liquor traffic, and I'm tired of the dope traffic, and I'm tired of the wicked hands placing themselves on the bodies of our teenage girls and our girls coming and saying, Brother Howell, I'm going to have a baby. A little girl has to go away somewhere to a relative's house and quit school and give birth to a baby she'll never see, whose cheeks she'll never kiss, whose feet she'll never shod, whose mouth she'll never feed, whose body she'll never embrace, whose lips she'll never kiss. I'm tired of it. Let me say, in 1984, let's just gaze at Him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I'm so glad there's a heaven. I'm so glad the Bible's true. I'm so glad there's a God, and I'm so glad Jesus is real. And I'm glad that God said, I won't look at you. I want you to look at me. Hey, I'm having a parade up here. Hey, I've got the reins of my chariot, and heaven's prancing horses are before my clouds, and I'm riding my cloud as a chariot. Look up here. I'm painting you a picture. I'm painting you a sunset. Look up, look up, look up, look up. It's funny. I told my classes a while ago. I went in last night, and Mama's yellow because the bile's been backing up. It can't go to her liver, and it's getting under her skin, and she's yellow. And last night I walked in, and I said, Mama, how do you feel? And she grunted something, tried to talk. And then I understood something she said. She said, am I still yellow? And I said, yes, ma'am, you're still yellow. But I said, the doctor says in about 5 days you won't be yellow anymore. And she said, good. I said, the doctor says 5 days from now you'll turn black. And the great big old grin came across those little toothless mouth. I'd rather be yellow. I probably shouldn't say this, but it's, to me, this is the sweetest thing that's happened at the hospital this week. My mama checked in. Earlene's going to get mad at me for saying this, but I don't care. I've hated her ever since I was 5 years old. Ever since she got that pencil and I didn't get it. And she had a pencil and I didn't get one because Daddy always liked her better than like me. I couldn't understand why, but you can. But she got a pencil and I didn't get one, so I broke hers. And I've hated it ever since. But Mama checked in the hospital. And she's sitting there as best she could. She couldn't walk alone, of course. And she's sitting there getting registered. There's a lady standing beside her, and Mother started witnessing to her. Isn't that beautiful? Going in the hospital for surgery, 96 years old, hard to talk. Mother started witnessing to her. Erlene said all of a sudden she realized that it was not a lady. Mother's eyesight is bad. It was a filing cabinet. And Mama's trying to get that filing cabinet saved. Isn't that good? I mean, that's looking up, boy. I'm not even sure. I bought her a string of pearls for Christmas. And real ones, too. I mean, I dug them out of the oysters last week. And I bought her a string of pearls, took them to her, and she's independent as all get out, little rascal. She don't need any help. You know, just the old school. And so, in a box about that big. And she didn't want to admit she couldn't see it because she's almost blind. She opened it, and she said, "Oh, how beautiful, a new Bible." So I took the pearls back, got the money back, and just left her with the Bible. But looking up, looking up, the Lord God said, "I'm going to ride my chariot now. All you earthbound people, look up here. I'm going to grab the reins of heaven's prancing horses, and I'm going to ride my chariot down a highway of mist, and I'm going to let you see a parade. Look up, and you'll get your mind off your trouble. Look up, and you'll get your mind off your burden. Look up, and you'll get your mind off recession. Look up, and you'll get your mind off your pity, your pity trip. Look up," said God. I love that little story about the little girl in the hospital. And the nurse came by one morning. And the little girl said, "Good morning, nurse." And the nurse said, "Hello." And the little girl said, "Nurse," said, "How are you?"
"Fine."
And the little girl said, "Nurse, you must not have heard the good news." And the nurse said,
"What good news is that?"
And she said, "Did you hear the good news, nurse?"
"What?"
She said, "That Jesus got born."
"What?"
She said, "The good news that Jesus got born." "Did you hear the good news? Did you hear the good news that Jesus got born? Did you hear the good news that he lived for 33 years on earth and never sinned one time? Did you hear the good news? Did you hear it? That he went to Calvary? Did you hear the good news? He died for you on the cross and took your place. Did you hear the good news? Did you hear the good news? He was buried, and after 3 days and three nights, he rose triumphantly for our justification. Did you hear the good news? He's sitting at the right hand of God even now, interceding for me as my lawyer, my advocate, my go-between. Did you hear the good news? He's going to come in the clouds of glory. And he's going to cause those who are living in him to rise, and the dead in Christ to rise, and meet him in the air. We'll never be separated. Did you hear the good news? Did you hear the good news that we're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years? Did you hear the good news? Did you hear the good news? After 1,000 years, the holy city is going to come down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And we shall see him and live with him in the holy city. And we shall walk through gates of pearl and down streets of gold. And where no crape shall ever darken the doorknob, and nobody shall ever weep. And no shoulders will ever get stooped, and no brow will ever furrow, and no face will ever wrinkle. And nobody will ever have cancer. And old baby be born dead. I sat in office this week with a precious couple. Young man grew up in our church. Married a little lady from this area, and he's now a school teacher over in Illinois, in down Normal, Illinois. And they told me how that they had a little baby, and the baby died. And they told me then how that they had a second baby, and the second baby lived a little while.
and then it died. And I told about my mother's first two children and how she said goodbye to them. And they they told me how hard it was to say goodbye to both little babies. Did you hear the good news? Those little bodies were raised soon. Did you hear the good news? We'll live in a city where nobody ever had cancer. And no little child would ever have leukemia. I'm telling you what. I sat in my office one night this week, and I heard so many heartaches and so many burdens and problems. I just wanted to say, Lord, get this mess all over and come on back here. But until that day comes, while we're earthbound and dustbound people, we may not know the tramp, tramp, tramp of celestial horses as their hoofs contact the pavement of gold. We may not yet know what it's like to see him face to face and feel the thorn prints of his hand. We may not know yet what it's like to have no bodies that are tired and weary. We may not know yet what it's like to be void of tears and heartaches and burdens. We're here. We have to pay bills. We have to get up and go to work. We have to get the car started. We have to go to doctors, and we have to go to hospitals, and we have to go to cemeteries. We have to say goodbye. We're here. But blessed be God, he told us. He said, look up. I've got a parade going on up in the sky. Look up. I want you to see it. And as you look up, you'll see me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I'm 57 years old. I was looking at Margaret a while ago, and I remember the day she came home from the hospital, she and Athy. Remember that day I had to dress them the first morning they were home in the hospital. I was 13 years old. I'm 57 now. I wouldn't dare tell you how old Margaret is, of course. But I was thinking, Margaret's a grandmother. My sister's a great-grandmother. And if I live long enough, someday I may become a grandfather. Again. And I wondered about the years. And I got to thinking on the platform what the years have done, how good God's been. I almost today, I almost didn't preach. I almost just stood up here and testified for a whole time. I almost, it's all I could do, not to just close a Bible, put it down here, and just stand up here and shout for 30 minutes this morning. Almost did. I just want to stand up here and tell everybody how good God's been to me in the last year. My sister said yesterday, she said, Jack, God sure has been good to you. I'm sorry. She said, Dr. Hiles, God sure has been good to you. And I said, he really has. I said, what are you talking about? And she said, do you know the last time you missed preaching? I said, I think it's been years. And she said it was when Mother and I first came up here. Was that 64, Lynn? 66. That means this is 84. It's going on 18 years since I didn't preach when I was supposed to preach. Think about that. I have laid home in bed and had somebody else stand behind my pulpit 18 years almost. This last month I preached my 41,000th sermon. This last year, over 8,000 folks got baptized right up here. Never a church in the history of the New Testament church ever had that. 26,000 people walked these aisles professing faith in Christ as Savior last year. As far as I know, I'm well. As far as I know, the family's well. I've got a boy who's a preacher and three girls married to preachers. Eight healthy grandchildren, a church, the pastor, finest people in the world, greatest church in the world. I've got thousands of people that love me. On my birthday, over 3,000 people sent me cards or gifts or telegrams from all over the world. So many folks love me. God sure has been good to me. This morning, on the first morning of 1984, I want to praise his name and tell you how wonderful he is. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the folly of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus is now. And my message this morning is look up. Look up. There's a heavenly demonstration going on. And there's a royal rider following royal steed, riding down a misty highway with the clouds as his chariot. Look up. Look up. Our Heavenly Father,